Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, we're going to tear down some serious myths that exist with real estate investing. You heard me correctly. We're going to destroy some myths that exist out there today. So the first myth we're going to crush this myth. This is the myth that says, when you live in California and you buy real estate, you make all kinds of money. It's crazy money. And all you have to do is buy the real estate and make the money. And that's a myth. That is truly a myth. Now, California may have a little better appreciation than the rest of the country, but when you sit down and do the nuts and bolts of the math with regards to investment returns, yeah, there's a lot to be desired for investing in the Sunshine State. There is. Okay, let's get to another myth. You need a 40-hour work week just to accomplish real estate investing. I mean, you have to be honed in. So you got to do your 40-hour job, and then you got to do like another 40 hours to stay on top of this real estate investing. And that's a myth. That's a myth. It's a total myth. Total myth. And here's why it's a myth. Because if you build a quality team around you, you don't spend a whole lot of time. As a matter of fact, what you do is you leverage the knowledge, the time, and the talents of other people who are, to be honest with you, probably a lot better at doing what they do than you are. You don't spend a lot of time. So those are the two myths that I want to beat down today. And you're probably wondering, okay, this is going to be good. How are you going to pull this off, Al? Very simply. I asked Brian, who's a Lifestyles Unlimited member, who happens to live in the great state of California, happens to live up in the Bay Area, and he's lived there for a very long time. Now, this guy, he's got a very good job. He works for a living, and he's very good at what he does. As a matter of fact, we might actually get into it today. I mean, he's actually been working on some pretty interesting stuff. So if we have a little time, I'll let Brian share that stuff. But here's the problem Brian had. Looking around the Bay Area of San Francisco, you see a lot of real estate, and you see a lot of people that make a lot of money that can't even afford to buy that real estate. So what do? Well, they rent. So you might think, well, that's great, man, because you have the ability to get great rents. Yeah, but it doesn't quite work out that way because there's a massive imbalance between the cost of the real estate and what that real estate can do for you when it comes to rates of return. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you do like Brian did, and you join an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited. You get yourself educated, and then you get busy changing your life. Now, I'm also going to bring another guy on the show. His name is Trey. Now, I met Trey like 4 years ago when I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. And I quickly found out that Trey is one of those guys that knows his world very, very well. Yeah, Trey is in the business of transacting real estate. He puts buyers and sellers together. He makes deals happen. He is a legitimate realtor. And he specializes in finding some of the worst properties you would ever look at for people like Brian and I. And I'll tell you what, it's a great relationship. So let me do this. Let me bring both of these guys onto the show. Brian, welcome to the show. Trey, welcome to the show. Now, Brian, you're up there in the Bay Area, are you not?
Yeah, I'm in San Jose.
Okay. Now, Trey, where are you at today?
I am in my office at home in New Braunfels, Texas.
Okay, so I would estimate that's about, 2,500, 3,000 miles distance between you guys? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Okay, yeah. somebody, trust me, somebody's out there Googling that right now. So how is it that a guy out in the Bay Area connects with a guy living in New Braunfels, Texas, and they start buying real estate in places like Converse and San Antonio and these other parts of Texas? So Brian, tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, who is Brian? Tell me about what you were doing for investing and retirement before you found Lifestyles Unlimited.
I guess for the most part, I was just daydreaming on how I was going to do it. I did get really into real estate and was just too afraid to pull the trigger. I listened to Dell for probably, about 10 years before I even joined, and just kept kind of daydreaming about it and thinking it sounds too good to be true.
Now, why were you thinking that? Is it just because the things that he was talking about just didn't translate into the world you were living in?
Kind of, and fear was a big thing. Just kind of nervous to actually engage and start looking into it.
Okay. So 10 years listening to Dell, and what made you decide to actually pull the trigger?
Actually, it was you guys were doing a local event in Santa Clara, which is probably about 10 minutes away. And I went to one of the one day or the workshop, and I even told my wife, I said, hey, I'm not going to join. I'm just going to this workshop, going to test it out. And then got hooked into the 2 day, loved the 2 day. I recommended anybody to go to the 2 day, and then joined as a full member.
Wow. So the guy that wasn't going to join wound up joining. And not only did he join, he went through the educational component of what we provide to all of our members. And I will tell you this, Brian got busy. Brian got very busy. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how Brian has been changing his life one property at a time. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. Connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. Go to wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So, Brian, how long have you lived in California?
My whole life. So I'm giving my age. I believe I'm 42.
You're 42. Okay, so you were born and raised. Okay, so you've seen the state change over the years. I mean, I spent a good deal of my life in California, too. So I would think that you and I have seen a lot of the same things. And when it comes to real estate, you know, what we're taught by all of our peers in California is a completely different investing strategy, if you will, than what you're taught at Lifestyles Unlimited, correct?
Definitely.
So what do Californians think an investment is? I mean, what's the conventional wisdom out there?
I not to speak for everybody, I know for me, investing in California, I thought was a great idea until I started investing out of state, and then I realized how much more cash flow you can get, and it's not as much risk, I guess.
And not as much money out of your pocket to get the deal to even try and cash flow, right?
Yeah, definitely. I could barely afford my my primary house, and I'm glad I bought when I did, because I don't think I can afford it today.
Yeah, probably not. And you live in the Bay Area, so I'm guessing, you know, you've probably seen like crazy appreciation on that property.
Definitely.
So you listened to Dell for 10 years, and, you know, I'm guessing some of what he said resonated with you enough to where you were willing to come check us out when we went out to the West Coast. You listened to what we had to say. You became a member. You went through the educational process. What did you do next? I mean, did you go find a mentor? Did you build your team? Did you go, you know, sell all your stocks? What was the next step for you?
So I had a little purse to begin with. I actually had two rental properties to begin with. I bought one, which has great cash flow. I bought another one that had no cash flow in Idaho, which ended up getting a lot of equity. So I thought I kind of had it figured out. Once I went through the two-day, I realized, look, I got to do it a different way. My whole intent was to get into the passive apartments. And like I say, I had a little purse to begin with, my life savings, my family's life savings. And so I was ready to go buy an apartment, passive. So that's kind of the main reason I joined. And then got in the first deal that came across and ran out of money pretty quick and realized now I got to go back to single family again.
So when you started investing, you started investing in apartment communities, is that correct?
So I started in buying two residential, and then when I joined Lifestyles, the whole reason I joined was to get into the passive multifamily, and then got back into single families.
Why the switch? I mean, if you originally decided to go multifamily, what pulled you back to the single family realm?
Just running out of money. A lot of people say there's plenty of deals out there. You'll run out of money before you run out of deals. Got into, I mean, a total of two deals with three apartment complexes, and then I didn't have the $25,000, $50,000, so I had to start doing single family again.
So you were able to buy single families for less than $25,000 or $50,000?
Yep.
How did you pull that off?
So I was using hard money to go on the side. I do have a home equity line of credit at HELOC on my primary residence, so I can kind of use that as a little bit of leverage. But yeah, just going through hard money, coming up with between $50,000 to $20,000 a piece, and then keep redoing it and redoing it.
So how does Trey fit into this picture for you?
So Trey, once I joined, I started getting blast emails. Basically, Lifestyles real estate team would just send me all these offers saying, hey, I got a place here, got a place here. He had one look good to me. You can actually poke your fingers through the wall to the outside. Dog that ripped the place apart. So it was a little bit rough, but he sent me the deal. I set him on, and we ended up buying it.
And what did that kind of deal do for you?
As far as, I mean, it cash flows okay. Back then, interest rates were a little different than they are now. But cash flow fine, got me going. It proved to me that I can buy a house that I think I own on paper, wire a contractor $10,000, have them start fixing it up, obviously wire them a little bit more money after that, and eventually own a house.
So, Trey, I've got a question for you. I mean, you helped Brian find this, right?
Yes.
Now, who is your fiduciary obligation to in this deal?
Brian.
Wait a minute. Brian's buying the property. Aren't you supposed to work for the seller?
No, I am a buyer's agent.
Really? Well, Brian, why would you use a buyer's agent? What does that do for you?
Make sure I'm taken care of.
So I guess what I'm getting at is you have a very solid business relationship with Trey. Trey is one of those valuable members of your team, and he brings something to the table that you need, right?
Yeah, I've used them on the total of six properties now, and waiting on our seventh.
Well, that is pretty cool. So Okay. I got to ask. Okay, if you've got Trey on your team, who else do you have on your team?
So I have a couple of contractors. I usually use the same one every time. His name is Levi. Usually I'll just put Trey. I'll tell when I like a deal or Trey sends me a deal, usually I'll call Levi and say, hey, Levi, can you link up with Trey and figure out a time to go over and check out the property? He checks it out, gives me a bid, and then we either do the project or don't.
And how much time does it take you to do all of that?
Usually it's a lot of times it's by text. So I'll just shoot him a text and give him the address or tell him to link up with Trey. Anywhere between 3 to 7 minutes.
Wait a minute. Did you say minutes?
Yeah.
Not hours or not hours or days. You said minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess what I'm getting at is how much time are you spending every week on your real estate investment business?
Now that they're pretty much ongoing on their own and I'm not doing any heavy rehabs, it's probably, I'd say, maybe an hour a week, maybe in couple hours a month. I don't know. Not very often.
That's not a lot of time.
When I go through the finances.
Okay. All right. Trey, how much time are you spending finding all these deals for Brian?
Probably more than he's spending working on his deals.
And there's the correlation there. That's the correlation. That's what I tell everybody, that real estate does not take a lot of time. What you have to do is you have to build that solid team around you, just like Brian did. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into these deals. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the 5 ways to make money with real estate: cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. And actually, we're not going to talk about your particular map right now. We're going to talk about Brian's map. See, Brian has a very excellent map. Now, he didn't have to reinvent the wheel. He didn't have to, like, you know, figure out from scratch how to do this real estate investing business. Brian just made a decision to bring an organization onto his team to assist him. And that organization is called Lifestyles Unlimited. And we taught Brian everything he needs to know in order to be a very successful real estate investor. And Brian, being a very good student, learned everything that we taught him, and as soon as he was literally done with his 16 hours of education, he got busy. He got busy working on changing his life. So, Brian, you joined in January of 2018, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and you started off doing some passive investing, but then you changed your strategy and decided to move back towards single-family properties. And if I recall the discussion from earlier in the show, it was really more of a financial decision than anything else, because you could get more deals with less money, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you've been repurposing a lot of money. You're taking money out of I'm assuming some of the money comes out of where you live because you've got that HELOC loan. Do you have things like 401ks and IRAs and that stuff?
I do. I'm actually a union member. I'm an electrician, and we still have that old school pension that we think we're going to get, and we have the 401k. So I should be covered pretty well for retirement.
Okay, but now that you know what you know with real estate and the returns that you can get with real estate, how do those compare to those sacred retirement plans?
I guess if I can tell you one way, it was last year during COVID, we were allowed to take out $50,000 out of our 401k, and I definitely made that happen. So I'm trying to get as much back out of the 401k because it's just not growing at the same rate at all.
Okay, so this is good news because Brian has made an informed decision to not do what the herd has been doing, but to do what Brian needs to do. So tell me about the property, the one property that you chose to get on an airplane and fly from California to Texas to come take a look at. I think you call it Grapevine. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's on Grapevine. I don't know if I came to look at it more or to smell it more.
Smell it?
Trey told me when he was there. He didn't really want to go in the place, but the contractor went in, took a bunch of pictures. Trey probably has a better story the first time being there.
Go ahead, Trey.
It was, in all my years of doing this, it was definitely the most disgusting house I've ever stepped foot into. I only lasted about 10 seconds in the home. We realized we were standing in human waste, about an inch deep. Pretty gross. The owner was handicapped and just never had cleaned the home. The contractor didn't make it much longer than me, and then we actually called in a hazmat cleaning crew that takes care of, like, after murders and stuff like that. He only lasted 30 seconds. He even said it was one of the most disgusting homes he had ever been into. So when I told Brian all this, the next day he's on a plane coming to San Antonio to come smell the home. He wanted to see what the big fuss was about.
And so, Brian,
I didn't go into the home the next time.
Brian, really? I mean, you got on a plane to go smell a disgusting house?
Yeah, it was. I was kind of going for double reasons. I actually had another house that was already going at the same time. So I figured I'd get out there to see progress on that, check out this new one. And I actually met with the appraiser when the appraiser was there. And kind of funny how when the appraiser tells you how much it's going to be worth and you're looking at it and you know how much you're buying it for, it's exciting to buy a house like that.
Okay, Trey, I got to bounce back to you because I know for a fact you've probably walked into no less than 10,000 homes in your career. So, you know, when we find the worst of the worst that you won't even go into, that tells me that there are a lot of people that might have considered buying that property that just walked because they couldn't figure out how to resolve that issue.
Actually, I believe I showed this property or tried to show this property to maybe two or three other Lifestyles members before it was Brian's turn to look at it. And when we got there, they wouldn't even walk inside. We would open the door and the smell was so horrible that they just turned around and walked away. But yeah, I've never experienced a property with the human waste factor this had. Other homes, you know, we have dead rats and raccoons and rotting material, but with the human waste, it was pretty disgusting. And it was in the heat of the summer as well.
Oh yeah. It just kind of marinates, huh?
At least.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want people to start turning the show off.
So. Right.
Here's what I think is really cool about this house. It is driving all your competition away. So, Brian, how much money out of pocket did you ultimately pay for the worst property in Texas?
So this was a weird one because I did use my HELOC. I ended up paying cash for it. based on my HELOC. So it was a little different. I didn't use hard money on this one. I can go into detail, but my debt to income was a little off because I had another property that I hadn't refinanced yet. So I know that's a lot of, as David would say, gobbledygook, but this one was kind of a different story. So I didn't use hard money.
Okay. Did you leave it in cash or did you refinance your money back out?
No, after 6 months, I refied back out, and I was pretty much nothing out of pocket. I might have been about $5,000 out of pocket.
I think we just found Brian's secret to success. He makes Trey go find the most disgusting properties he can so that he can literally buy them for almost no money down. But here's the beautiful thing. That property has got somebody living in it right now, correct?
Correct.
And I'm guessing that property now is probably on the other end of the spectrum. It is probably the best of the best in the neighborhood.
It's a very nice house. It's a house I would move into.
So did you, while you were out here from California, did you do the rehab work on all this?
No, I didn't touch this one at all.
All right. So I'm hoping you hit the Riverwalk while you're down here in San Antonio because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not spending a whole bunch of time doing real estate-related stuff, huh?
No, when I got out there, actually last year, I actually drove to Expo when I was there because it happened to be the same weekend. But I did make it to the Alamo, and I did see the Riverwalk.
Awesome. So, Trey, how long did it take to get this property moved through escrow, get it rehabbed for Brian, and then make Brian a very happy investor?
Well, there's another side of this story. This property took longer to close than any other property I've ever had to close.
Why is that?
I want to say, would it take 6 months, Brian?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there. I bought another one because this one was taking so long. And then, of course, the day I closed on the other one, this one was ready to close.
Interesting.
So you
Interesting.
Two properties on the same day.
Interesting. So what we're finding out is that Brian has a couple of irons in the fire at any given time. See, Brian is moving forward. Brian is focused on his end stated goals, and he's not going to let anything get in the way. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into some of the mechanics. Stick around.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so during the break, Brian, Trey, and I were actually talking about this property that we were talking about in the last segment. And, you know, we kind of decided that this was really a great investment for Brian. To elaborate on that, are you guys okay kind of talking through, you know, the acquisition costs and things like that, and what this actual property is doing today?
Yeah, sure.
So Trey, I mean, you're the numbers guy. What did Brian actually pay for this property?
$101,000.
Okay. Did and that included all the human waste that he could acquire too, correct? I mean, this thing was just in really bad shape.
Yeah, all that was included with the purchase.
Okay. What was the ARV on this property at the time?
The home actually appraised for $165,000 at the time.
Okay, and that appraisal is based on everything being fixed up, correct?
Correct. That's an after-repair price opinion. Appraiser comes in there. They've looked at Brian's scope of work or the repairs he was going to do on the property and assigned an appraised value.
So my mind is telling me you got about $64,000 of equity to play with in there. How much money did you actually drop into the renovations on this thing? I'm just thinking this thing probably had to be like ripped down to the studs, right?
No, it was pretty good. We ended up doing flooring throughout, obviously. Had to get all the urine smell out. And I want to say it was somewhere around 30, I think realistically, probably closer to 35, maybe 40. I mean, I had to put the AC in afterwards. So let's say 35 is probably fair.
So it sounds like you captured well over $30,000 on this particular deal. What I meant to say was Brian captured over $30,000 in equity in this property because he bought it correctly, he rehabbed it correctly, he put it back into service correctly, and the market was doing better than his all-in costs. And equity capture is very, very important because what that does for Brian is it literally starts him with $30,000 worth of profit. I mean, literally, Brian could sell that property the next day and he wouldn't lose any money. But you didn't sell it the next day, did you, Brian?
No.
Because you don't believe in that flipping thing? Is that it?
No, I want capital gains tax instead. And the rent money's pretty good.
Okay, so what is this thing doing for you on a monthly cash flow basis?
I believe we're right around $400 a month.
This property essentially gave you and your household a $5,000 a year raise.
Yes.
And this is not the only property doing this kind of thing for you.
No, I have seven other income properties.
Seven other properties. Now, I'm just doing simple math here, but I'm thinking seven properties kicking off $400 a month cash flow is probably giving you, what, about a $35,000 raise per year?
I'll take your word for it. On the fly.
All right. When's the last time the union gave you a raise, by the way?
We actually just got one. We make a lot of money out here.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. But what kind of, how much work did you have to put in to get that raise?
A lot.
And
every 40 hours a week, every week.
Okay. And somebody else had to make that decision, first of all, as to whether or not you get the raise, and then they had to decide how much, right?
Yeah.
But in real estate, you've turned the tables around. You decide how much a property is going to do for your portfolio, and then you make the decision to either put it in the portfolio or not.
Yeah.
So you're regaining control of your life, Brian. Are you aware of that?
I am. It still seems a little surreal, but yeah.
Okay. So what's your number? And when I say what's your number, what I'm really getting at is, do you have a certain number of either houses or passive investments or whatever is in your retirement cocktail, so to speak? Do you have a particular number that you are gunning for because you know when you get to that number, you could walk away from the union?
I kind of do. I'm more interested in time and my kids graduating high school, because if I do leave the area, if I left the area, I could retire tomorrow. It wouldn't be a big deal. But I'm more of looking at kids finishing high school and kind of the family. My wife's been a stay-at-home mom for now 16 years, so I'm sole provider. So it's a little scary taking that leap into retirement now. But living in California, I still have a little ways to go.
Okay, but you're only 42, right?
Yeah.
So what is your age number? Are you thinking you get all this done in the next 2 years, maybe 5 years? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking about between 4 and 5 years.
Okay,
as long as my as long as my bosses aren't listening right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good thing we disguised your voice and changed your name to protect the innocent.
There you go.
Actually, we didn't do any of that. So, all right. So, Brian, I mean, you actually do some pretty interesting stuff. I mean, I read through your bio. You're working on this real-world version of, like, instead of playing Minecraft on a computer, you're going to allow people to actually play Minecraft, and you're providing the services necessary to the contractor or the contractee or whatever the people doing all this is. So, I mean, you're pretty heavily engaged in what you do 9 to 5, correct?
Yeah, and I enjoy it.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, the beautiful thing is you can get that real estate retired number, and then you can keep being an electrician if that's what you want to do. I mean, just be like all the doctors that practice every once in a while because they enjoy doing what they do. Nothing wrong with that. But here's where I want to go. When you rehab the Grapevine property, you told me you really didn't spend a whole lot of time on it other than maybe taking a plane trip out to Texas just to kind of check it out. What was going on behind the scenes? I mean, once Trey told you this thing was available to you, what did you do to make everything fall in line?
So at that point, on that one, my lender, I'd use the same lender, AMP Lending, all the time, called him, told him I was doing another one. He already had all my documents from all my financials on my other properties, sent him my latest weekly paycheck, called my insurance lady. She already knew what I wanted, so she sent me the, I think they call it the binder, right away. The system's fairly on autopilot at this point.
So it's really plug and play for you. But Trey, what happens on your side when Brian says, let's launch?
Basically, it's plug and play as well. Just start going through the motions and making sure everybody has the correct documents, making sure that Brian got with his insurance agent, making sure Brian got with his lender, get with title, order survey, order appraisal. And once all that happens within 24 hours of signing the contract, and then it just goes. Obviously, on this home, we had some hiccups and everything, getting it to closing. But other than that, it just stayed on autopilot the entire time. It's about 24 hours. You first start, you're working really hard to get it done, and then it just goes smooth sailing because of the systems we have set up.
You know, what I think is really cool is that, first of all, we've got a member that understands how to correctly invest, who has sat down and figured out where he's trying to get to and is doing the things he needs to do to achieve that. On the other side of the fence, we have all of the members of his team, of which, Trey, you are a highly important component because of your knowledge of the marketplace, your knowledge of investment properties, the fact that this is what you specialize in. You don't go out and show luxury homes because that's not who you are. And that's not the kind of agent that Brian and I are looking for. We want guys like you that understand the modality. And what I'm getting at is that when you take two highly competent people and put them together, like we've done with Brian and Trey, they're able to communicate very effectively, very efficiently, and there's not a lot of nonsense. It's just business time, correct, guys?
Yeah.
We talk nonsense on the phone all the time, but yeah, it's just business.
Well, because you got to have a purpose for, you know, the other 5 minutes of the phone call when you got all the business
exactly.
Done in the first 12 seconds. Okay, very cool.
I want to hear his Mardi Gras story, too.
Oh, yeah. Trey's got some Mardi Gras. We need to ask Trey about Fiesta and all these other places that he likes to hang out at. Hey, guys, man, we're at the end of the show, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. First of all, to break the myth that if you live in California, you have to invest in California, because that's just absolute nonsense, because we just proved that you don't need a lot of time.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.